The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo Dot Moe No Name Anime Show. I'm JP. This week I'm joined by Vinny from the Newsbroom. How are you doing?
I am still doing well.
This is first time on the show. I guess for people that don't listen to the Newsbroom, what do you do on the internet?
On the internet, I shitpost on Twitter about anime stuff. And I also do the podcast, the AGC podcast, with my friend Diego, where occasionally we get combative with each other and argue about things that the other one likes, or we watch something and complain about it. This past week, we recorded our 10 years in waiting, our My Little Pony, Friends with Magic Season 1 podcast that was made on a bet that we both were bonded to, that we would not last that long.
You also do Anime Secret Santa every Christmas holiday season.
Yeah, I guess 3 or 4 years now. We adopted that from the reverse of who started it.
How did that happen? Did you just say, hey, can I do this since you don't want to?
Pretty much. I think they took like a hiatus year from doing everything in general. So Diego and I both enjoy it. So we were like, okay. I think I messaged Alan in September or so of like, I haven't seen anything about Secret Santa this year. Are you guys doing it? And I said, you know, if you're not, we offered to take it up, with hope that someday they will take it back.
And I'm very grateful that you did take up that mantle, even though I still have not done my Mushishi review. I enjoy the Anime Secret Santa every year. My God, it sounds like there's a frog in my throat. Good Lord. That's our co-host this week. It's a frog. But what else? I think I watched Ping Pong once and then Sarazan. I have this habit of watching shows that I don't care for, although I really did like Mushishi a lot, but people never found out because I didn't do the review. Anyway, this is the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. Jesus, what is wrong with my voice? We do this show once a week, every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern on Gonzo.moe. For the time being, it also airs on WJMOE Radio, but that is going to be no more shortly. I got an email from Shoutcast saying that they were going to shut down all but real radio station servers. That is going to happen the first week in April, I believe. So if you listen to that, get it in while you can. I don't know what the future of that name is, but the streaming radio station will be down shortly. But this is a discussion-type podcast. We do anything from news, reviews, Twitter questions. The show is just about an hour, so it's not a big time commitment. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It should also be on Spotify if you look for Gonzo.moe. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you could do it at 716-64-MOE-43. That is 716-466-6343. Yashahime is over. I unfortunately do not have a Yashahime update currently. I still have to watch that. Look forward to that in the future. Today, instead, we are doing something that we have been threatening to do for a while. We are going to talk about Dick Fight Island. This is a... it's got to be the most graphic manga I've ever read in my entire life. I don't know about you, Vinny. I don't read a lot of actual pornography.
No, this is something I don't know where I'm going to keep it in my apartment to keep it like safe from prying eyes, because I don't want it to be found out by someone, by anyone.
What's wild to me about this is that at Kinokuniya, this is just on display with all of the other manga. Like, they have it front facing just Dick Fight Island right next to what is it, like My Brother's Husband, I think is, there's a manga like that that is probably a lot more tame and not porn.
Oh yeah, that's like, it's a really like, cute manga. I'd recommend that if you want something wholesome and family friendly.
But this is not family friendly. So even though we do have a sexual content warning at the beginning of every episode of this podcast, we especially mean it this week. This is hardcore pornography. And what's really interesting to me is that they actually draw the dicks, which is not, usually they get like the white light in most of the manga where you would see a penis. So I was surprised that they actually like full on drew it. I don't know if they did that for the American release or if that's how it was in the original version, but probably the first like actual manga dick I've ever seen.
And you've seen plenty of them now.
Oh my God. So the name of this manga is not actually Dick Fight Island. I should open my notes. So this is a manga from a mangaka named Reibun Ike, which I couldn't find a ton of information on her. Anime News Network has almost nothing, but she's had like over two dozen titles over the years from the blurb in the book. Not sure how many of those have been released in English. I know Anime Planet had a bit more information on her with different covers of all the titles. This was not originally called Dick Fight Island. It was called The Eight Warriors, Hachinin no Senshi in Japanese. It makes a lot of sense why they would call it Dick Fight Island, because I don't know if anybody would have bought a manga called The Eight Warriors. It is two volumes, which was surprising to me when I bought the first volume thinking this would be a multi-volume series, and when I picked up the last or the second one, it said like the final volume of Dick Fight Island. This did very well. Amazon had it in high in the romance and manga, as well as yaoi and LGBTQ plus manga categories when it came out, and it says it was second in action and adventure manga. I assume that just means manga, period. It is, it's so much. This, I guess, is technically a Viz title. It's released under the Sublime label. Which I've never purchased anything from Sublime. This may actually be my first boys' love manga that I've read. I don't think I've read some Yuri, but I don't think I've ever read any yaoi. Are you familiar with the Sublime label at all? Like, is this up to their usual quality?
I don't read that much boys' love. I like everyone. I think I saw the name Dick Fight Island, so the premise, and immediately went out and bought it.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because it seems, especially knowing that this was Viz, it seems like a kind of cheap thrown together release. My second book, like the cover, doesn't line up with the pages.
That's a general flaw of that print run, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, is that the same on yours? Like it's like a couple millimeters too short?
And I think it's just on the edge. It's not on the top or bottom.
Another thing that was really interesting before we go into the premise of the story is that they didn't break it down by chapter, which I assume that this was released in chapters because it from the little information I've found, it seems like this ran from 2017 to 2020. And in the manga version that we got, it just reads as one story in each volume. And it's interesting in volume two, you can tell where they airbrushed out the chapter names, because there's just these weird empty boxes every like 20 pages.
I didn't notice that, and I'm gonna have to like look back at it to see.
It was really, because the first time I saw it, I thought like that, like did the letterer forget to put something in there? But then it was consistent throughout the volume. Like I guess they just decided to put this out as one thing, which I guess is fine because you're still getting the whole manga. I don't know if they had like cover pages that they took out, but it makes it harder to know when to stop reading. Like if you want to just read a chapter, it's you have to kind of guess based on the pacing of the story where to stop. This is a journey. So the back of the book, I'll read the back of volume one. The tournament to choose the next king of the islands is about to begin. The rules are simple. Whoever comes first loses. Participating warriors protect their mighty swords with armor that grows larger and more elaborate with each tournament, but one warrior has returned from studying abroad with a technique certain to force a pleasurable eruption. Is there a competitor alive able to withstand it, or is this deft warrior destined to become king? He does not. Which is really, I mean, anticlimactic, so to speak. I was really surprised by how this wrapped up, because the main character, Hart or Harto, depending on which volume, because I didn't notice this, you said they changed his name between volume one and two. You kind of assume that he's the lead character, but he does not win the tournament, and I was very surprised by that.
Now, that's actually a pretty common shonen trope, though, of not winning the tournament in the first time you go through. I'm looking at the cover of the first volume even, and like my print is the cover bleeds over to the spine, and the spine bleeds to the back cover.
Nice. Oh yeah, I'm seeing that a little bit. So, Hart or Harto, he was traveling abroad. I suppose we should say where this takes place. It is like a remote archipelago, and I should have written down the name. I have the manga in front of me.
Palua, I think.
Yeah, where is it? Yeah, Paluyang Inda, which is just like a series of islands that apparently nobody knew existed until recently, but they also seem to have like the internet and electricity and everything. Just not everybody, only like one guy has a computer, because I unless I'm misremembering, somebody's like FaceTiming somebody in one of these chapters.
They play fast and loose with the technology level. Yeah, especially in the second volume.
Well, yeah, because there's you'll get anything from somebody like on the computer, like on a porn site, to people, you know, wearing like a loincloth foraging for food in the forest. And I'm guessing it just depends on which island you live on. So
that is more explanation than this manga deserves.
Yeah. So it's what, every 4 years they have this tournament to figure out who's going to be the new king of all of the islands. And as we mentioned already, and as I'm sure anybody that's listening to a Dick Fight Island podcast assumes, you have to make your opponent ejaculate to win that competition. And what's so funny about this is that other than the pacing, which I had an issue with, it reads just like a tournament manga that you'd read in Shonen Jump.
Yeah, this is just the Great Raitai arc, but they have to make them come. Like, that's the only difference.
And it has, like, you know, when somebody does a special move, there'll be a cutaway of someone like, oh my god, they did that move, and in this case, it's butt stuff in, like, putting a finger up some guy's ass. It's just like, oh my god, he's massaging the prostate gland. I didn't even know you could do that. It's like, you have to suspend disbelief a little bit. Like, I can accept that there's an island where people jerk each other off to win a tournament, but that would be a custom and they don't know about fingers in the butt was like,
that they've never played with their hole.
You know, like, for as sexual as these characters get in their fighting, it's like, oh my god, he's going to put it in me? I didn't even know you could do that. Like, what? So what were you guys doing over the last couple of decades in your tournament?
It was just oral and hand jobs.
Yeah, right?
And a little bit of foot job, as we say.
Oh, yeah. There is nothing left to the imagination in this. Any type of sex act pretty much takes place. And it is, you know, a lot of times when you watch or read erotic manga or anime, they make you imagine a lot of this. This is like full display. You know, you don't have to imagine anything. And what I thought was really interesting about the sex scenes is that sometimes they put a tiny bar over the cock and sometimes they don't. And I don't know what, like, the thought process is behind that.
That must be like just like a censorship rule of, if this is technically censored, if you put a small bar like somewhere along the shaft.
But they don't do it every time, which is what's so strange to me.
I'd have to really look at, you know, I didn't analyze every penis in this manga. but I'm wondering if it's when the full penis is visible,
you have
to put some bar there.
I guess the most notable thing that people would know about this if they haven't read this is that they wear this armor on their dicks, which I thought was going to play a bigger role in the story, and it does not. I was a little disappointed by that. It seems like...
It does early on. Like, I feel like that was an idea they played with early on, the author, and then they kind of dropped it.
Yeah, because they very quickly like just get destroyed, and then I think the final fight between Hart and the other guy that won the tournament, I don't have all their names straight in my mind, they're just like, we're going to fight without our cock shields. And it made me think of, did you watch Megalobox?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God, you're right.
It made me think like, well, if Joe's not going to use the robot arms, then I'm not going to use the robot arms. So this is pretty much Megalocox is where I'm
going.
God
damn it.
I wish that I could say I wrote that joke down, but that just came to me. Oh my God, there's another one. This is what people came to this podcast for. I'm sorry that it hasn't been that funny yet, but it's like, I kind of read this like I would read any other manga. I'm like, oh, I wish they would have done more with the story here, and this part was fast-paced. It just happened to be a manga that was featuring a lot of very graphic sex scenes. But that is maybe my biggest complaint with it, is that I wish it was longer. It blew its load too soon, you could say.
it needs a little more length and maybe some more girth even, perhaps.
Yeah, because so you assume that the tournament is going to be a lot longer, but they wrap it up in what, like... I don't know how many chapters this is because they don't have chapter breaks, but there's it
like
happens
200 pages.
It about. Happens soon enough that there's a bonus chapter at the end to round out the manga. And it goes, a lot of it happens off screen, it seems. I think one of the funnier things that I didn't notice the first time I read this, because I was really, really high when I read Dick Fight Island. The way that Hart is introduced, he jumps out of a helicopter without a parachute, which is so awesome, because, you know, nobody knows where this island is or how to get to it. So he's like, well, we're close enough. I'm just going to jump here. And he seems to be fine. And he swims the rest of the way to the island. He has been studying abroad at like fake Harvard, where he meets his sort of lover. I think they become lovers after the tournament. Up to that, they're just kind of fooling around with the assumption that they have feelings for each other, but they don't make it official till afterwards. But that's where he meets his partner, Matthew. They're like dorm mates. And I think this... Now, I understand that this manga, like, it's not the point to overanalyze, like, why these guys just have their butts out all the time and why, you know, they have a tournament where you jerk each other off. But I couldn't help but think, like, the nefarious origins of this. Like, you know, there was probably some fucking lunatic, you know, 50 or so years ago that's like, I'm just going to tell my people that we have to jerk each other off every once in a while, and eventually that's just going to become a custom, and I can jerk off whoever I want. And we'll make it a rule that they have to have their ass out all the time. And I don't know if you thought that deeply into it, but I couldn't get that out of my mind.
So I guess I took the ass thing. So we should say this, that, you know, any man who's come of age in this society is expected to bear his ass at all times in his pants. They are all assless pants.
Yeah.
They do kind of go, this was almost like G Gundam, which also was every 4 years is a tournament. I guess vaguely homoerotic.
G Cumdom.
Mobile soldier condom. It's like an old t-shirt you could buy.
Oh my God.
Like, oh yeah, there used to be like terrible wars on our world, and then we decided to have this tournament to decide who's our leader.
That also is the plot to Tribe Nine. We used to have gang fights, but then the government's like, why don't you play baseball instead? Except in this, it's why don't you play with each other's balls instead? I had a lot of fun with this manga. I just wish that it would have been more fleshed out, because I was expecting it to be paced more like a My Hero Academia type thing, where you get to meet the characters, they have their battle, it's, you know, tons of chapters, and you know, you grow with them or whatever. And the fact that it was done in like 200 pages was a little bit of a bummer. I still think it's a lot of fun. And I definitely, if you want to read a ridiculous shonen battle anime where dudes fuck each other in the butt to win the fight, I definitely recommend it. But you're going to leave wanting more, I feel.
Yeah, and I kind of hope that the success of this does lead to an expanded version. Mm-hmm. Like, this could easily fit 3 volumes.
Oh, yeah.
And not get too dragged down in the pace. The issue with tournament arcs is they always take too long.
Yeah.
With a handful of exceptions. And this is like the first time I have ever said I want a longer tournament arc.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 8 fighters, and they sort of do your normal like bracket fight.
What's interesting is they tease a bonus chapter at the end of volume 2, and I don't think we get that.
It's not in the volume we get, but you can buy it in Japan.
Yeah, you can buy. They say now available in Japanese for 200 yen. It's the Dick Fight Island preliminary judging arc,
and we get like a page of it.
Oh, is that what that is at the end?
It's got to be what it is.
It says after the great. It's called the Great Worm Tournament. They have it's Matthew and Harto watching sumo wrestling. And he's like, oh, it seems that even in your culture, you also have people getting naked and fighting. So the second volume is, honestly, even though it has nothing to do with the tournament, I thought it was the stronger of the two volumes, because you actually get into the characters and learn about them. And I guess it depends on what you want from the series. If you want to know about them, volume 2 is really good. If you just care about the dick fights, volume 1 is the better of the two. But they both, I would say, have an equal amount of sex scenes. But volume 2 is told partially as an extended flashback of Hart going to college and meeting Matthew. And then the rest of it is post-tournament, the various fighters like hanging out, you know, forming relationships with each other. One of the more interesting ones was these two people got like trapped in a house in a snowstorm, and that led to them forming a romantic partnership. What else?
I mean, there's almost, and there's got to be an ideal order, where you chop these 2 books out into one larger book.
Oh, like rearrange
the chapters?
And tell
like a better story, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because most of Volume 2 happens post Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think the flashback could have, because they do a shorter flashback in the middle of Volume 1. They could have put those extra scenes in there. And, you know, for all we know, they did. Because it seems that Viz is a little more liberal with their releases under this label. It, you know, could be a different management company. It could be they're like, well, it's, you know, it's the boys love stuff. No one's going to buy it, so who cares? We're just going to change the title and rearrange the chapters and take out the inserts. And, you know, we all still bought it. I don't know, because I don't buy a lot of manga of the genre, I don't know if it's often treated with the same level as respect of, you know, like a Dragon Ball. That might be a bad example. Dragon Ball's been treated terribly over the years.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. Shonen manga is treated probably as poorly overall.
Maybe as like a Junji Ito. That's probably treated, yeah. You know, getting a nice hardcover release.
This is not a prestige release from them, which maybe someday we'll get the prestige version of Dick Fight Island.
Yeah, it's, you know, with how well it did, because it is so unusual for titles of this genre to break into the mainstream fandom conversation. I wouldn't be surprised if we get more, or I would watch an anime, but I don't know if they'd be able to make an anime of this. It'd be too graphic. I guess they could make a hentai.
They could. I mean, I don't know. You haven't watched Twittering Birds Never Fly, but they show everything except the dick in that.
That's the like the Yakuza Boys Love movie?
That's the Yakuza Boys Love on High Dive.
I think
also screened in theaters here.
Nice.
Like, I don't know how that happened, because that is like just on the other side of porn from this.
I wanted to watch that. I what do you call it? For a brief time, I was doing new anime release posts, which, like, they're easy to do, but they're also just like a pain in the ass because you have to do them every Tuesday. And Twittering Birds Never Fly was one of those 1 week. I'm like, I don't know what this title is. I wonder, you know, I'm like, maybe it's about Twitter. Nope. Definitely not.
I'm also looking at the Sublime site. They don't seem to update them. So it seems to be not updated recently.
That doesn't surprise me.
Because it says 2020 title announcements, but there have been, obviously, these both came out post-2020.
Well, yeah, because Volume 2 just came out like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. If you go to their calendar, they have a full list of things. Like, they're releasing books constantly. They have like two to three a month from Sublime.
Yeah, it's. I assume there's a lot, because the Yuri and Yaoi section at Kinokuniya is almost an entire shelf, like the back of the manga section. So I assume there's a lot of titles in these, in this label.
And they tend to rank pretty highly when we go into the right stuff top sellers. Occasionally you'll see like Bad Boys Happy Home creeps into the top manga.
Adult
manga, yeah.
I was going to say, nobody's beating Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen anytime soon, which...
We don't know that. We don't know what porn is doing.
It's, yeah. I suppose they probably don't consider those numbers, like, compete those numbers against each other. So for all we know, Dick Fight Island was the best-selling manga that week, and Jujutsu Kaisen was just the best-selling not-porn manga.
But this isn't even the top 10... manga of the in the porn section, just checking now.
Well, it came out a couple weeks ago. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I would assume a little bit of a tail.
I'm trying to think what else. I feel like I had other things to say about this. I'm looking at my notes right now. Oh, you know what kind of bummed me out was the way that the tournament ended. The guy was just like, you know what? I don't want to fight Hart. I want to fight the king, and then the king wins, and the king just gets to continue being king.
It's a very dumb ending. I will give that. And it, like, I like the, you know, you lose in the final battle. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like it's a good shonen, good, you know, storytelling technique that Ami does really well. And this is just kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It feels like, I don't know if you've been to like Medieval Times or something. It feels like that. Those tournaments end?
I'm not familiar with this. Is this a place, or is this a series?
Oh, Medieval Times is a small chain of restaurant, like tournament restaurants. There's one in New Jersey that is, people end up at like a field trip occasionally. And you have like a bunch of knights who show up there, who are there, like the Green Knight, the Blue and White Knight, and all these things. And at the end, there's always like a traitor knight who challenges the king. And like whatever their annual story is.
Okay. What? I guess it wasn't all losing at the end, because Hart did. He got to be like the second in command or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you're really smart because you studied abroad. So you're gonna be like still in charge of a bunch of stuff. We never find out what that means because the manga ends. But it wasn't all downhill for our lead character.
No, plus he has to live with his lover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because then, yeah, him and Matthew I believe, make it official. A number of the other characters get together by the end of this, and I know the king is, I'm not sure if they're married or just whatever, but the final two from the previous tournament decided to rule together and be lovers. So it's a lot of like no hard feelings at the end. It seems that most of it was because they're like, oh my God, you did that technique so well. Wanna just like live together?
No one addresses in this manga that each round should get shorter since there's not a big time between tournament rounds.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't think we brought up the fact that like when we say tournament arc or tournament fight or whatever, this is like a Dragon Ball Z or a Yu Yu Hakusho in that they're doing this in front of like a large audience of people. This isn't just like a couple people fighting in the king's chambers.
No, this is exactly a shonen like manga tournament. It's if you've seen like any of the Tenkaichi series in Dragon Ball, this is it. But it's in one volume.
And they got special moves. The one that was the most confusing for me, I think it's Vampire, the guy with the eye patch. He like wins by summoning a lizard. And I was unclear what that did. Maybe the lizard gave the other guy a rim job.
There's also the psychic gas one that was weird.
A gas one?
Wasn't that one that had like a psychic power?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Had the eye on his forehead.
Oh God! I read this so quickly that some of those moments they did not stick in my head. So I think I read the first volume in like one sitting. And I read the second volume all in one go, like a couple days later. I'm just flipping through it right now to see. Apparently, at one point, they rode dragons into battle. That's an interesting piece of lore that plays no role in the story. Oh, I found it, actually. The third eye. Is this the true power of the healer clan, Shaman? What a dangerous ability. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is Vampire or Vampyr.
Wow.
And like we should say, this manga does have a traditional like cast of character page.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But it is just torso and like cock shield.
Yeah, it's like the second page of the manga is just a close-up of all their cock armor, which also makes it a little difficult because you're like, okay, I don't know what this guy's face looks like, so I'm not sure who Bullen or Naga is. I had another thing I was going to say and I just lost it. I had a good time. I don't know if there's a digital version available, but, it's available in paperback for sure. Oh, I know. So in volume 2, there is a character that talks about how he got stranded in the snow when he was younger and he got saved by this mysterious creature. And then they, you know, do whatever, like two chapters, and then they come back to explain the mysterious creature. And I swore that he was going to be like, and that creature jerked me off and it was like life changing. And it turns out just to be like a moose that brought him back home. I was bummed out because like in any other shonen manga, it'd be like, that's how I learned the special technique. But that is not what went down.
No, that would have been perfect. You know, that's kind of Hart's origin story is that he learns about, you know, playing with his ass in that first chapter of the second volume.
Yeah, well, because Matthew teaches him that in college, which it's funny because, like, you almost wonder, and I know we brought this up once already, that for an island full of very sexual man-on-man customs, they don't seem to be very familiar with their bodies because when Matthew and Hart fornicate for the first time, he's like, holy shit.
I love when you used fornicate there was your word choice.
Yeah, when he jerks him off the first time.
Yeah.
Hart ejaculates almost immediately. He's like, holy fuck, you are good. I need to train with you. And Matthew's like, I thought these guys like had a whole thing where they did this all the time. Like, but it turns out Because Hart was like, I'm undefeated. And Matthew surmises that that is because all of these guys just wanted Hart to jerk them off. And so they let him win. Which kind of gives credence to my theory that this is all just some like weird grooming conspiracy. But this is not the manga to really have that conversation. It's just like, how else did all of this come to be, you know? Yeah, Dick Fight Island. It's a good time. But it's definitely not for everybody. I guess if you're listening to this podcast, then you probably aren't bothered by graphic sex scenes. So you'd probably have a good time reading it. But
now, there's a limited audience of people who want gay porn and shonen like battle tournaments. I think that's just me.
I mean, even if that's not necessarily, because I don't, those two on their own, I don't necessarily seek out, but the combination of the two was so unique that I had to experience it firsthand. And yeah, I think it also just the display at Kinokuniya was hard to deny because it was just like front and center. They had, you know, probably 50 or so copies just out. And it's really funny watching as people walk by it because it's not, you know, inconspicuous at all.
I mean, that's kind of a problem when you like lump all your gay comics into one thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have stuff that is appropriate for all ages or appropriate for most ages. And then you have this, which is appropriate for no age.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely have that conversation as a whole with Kinokuniya. I don't know if I've brought that up on the podcast before, but just across the board, they don't separate erotic content from non-erotic content. And, you know, that doesn't matter for me. You know, I'm in my 30s. I can buy whatever I want there. But if I'm like, I don't know, 12, going there for the latest latest volume of Dr. Stone, and if they didn't separate it by, you know, yaoi stories versus non-yaoi stories, Dr. Stone and Dick Fight Island would be on the same shelf because everything is wrapped, which is a weird thing probably to prevent people from reading it. But otherwise, there's no, there'd be nothing preventing somebody from just picking up an erotic title.
Yeah, and the covers of these are not exactly, if your mother found this, you'd probably get in trouble.
I mean, regardless of what the cover is, it's called Dick Fight Island.
That's true. It's Richard Battle Island.
Richard, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just about a guy named Rich.
Yeah. It's Richard Battle Archipelago.
I had to look up what archipelago meant. So they kept saying that. Like, I don't know what an archipelago is. It's a collection of islands, it seems.
It's an island chain.
I didn't pay attention in geography. That would have...
Someone doesn't play Worldle.
Yeah, it seems that, in retrospect, I should have paid attention in geography because then I would have been able to appreciate Dick Fight Island even more. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention about it? I feel bad because I think people were expecting this to just be like, laugh a minute, but we're talking about it like a real review.
Well, you know what? I think that we're giving it the respect it deserves. It is a well-done manga. The art's pretty good.
Yeah.
The dicks are well drawn.
So, yes, that's there is nothing. I guess I already said nothing left to the imagination, but yeah, and it's like different sizes, and you know they're squirting all over. One thing I guess that was confusing, if you want to talk about the art, is sometimes it was unclear whether somebody was coming or not.
That is true, and you know, given how important coming is in this manga.
Yeah, because there's points where I guess they just, the velocity at which they're pre-coming looks as if it was come. I don't know what other words to use. And so sometimes it's just not really clear. But yeah, it's got everything. If I guess your kinks, it's got ass eating, it's got fingers in the butt, it's got normal sex in various positions. There's blowjobs. I think there's foot jobs at one point.
Yeah, one guy is a foot user. A lot of nipple play in the second volume, too.
There's a lot of nipple play, yeah.
Like volume two in particular, I feel like, had more and better drawn nipples than the first volume.
At one point, there is... it's not quite like a daddy kink, but it's similar in that saying a certain phrase is part of somebody's predilection. There's one person that comes when the other character says their name. So there's that covered. I don't know if I'm missing anything. Yeah.
I mean, you could definitely add another, like, eight fighters, add another round of, like, kinks and action in this if you expanded it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's Dick Fight Island. It's...
Yeah, I think ideally we both kind of were like, no, this actually needs a little more fluffing.
Yeah. Yeah. It did do the thing that I always think is so funny about Boys Love Manga, in that with one exception, it seems that all of the characters are men and all of them are also gay. That, like, I've only read a handful of yaoi, but the other ones are not read. I watched an anime called Kirei Papa several years ago, and I also have Heart of Thomas, and it seems that these are worlds where women just don't exist. Except there's one of the islands on Dick Fight Island where women do exist, and they're sure to point out that there are lesbian relationships as well.
Yeah, everyone is gay in this.
Yeah. Which just seems to be a trope in manga like this.
It helps maintain the fantasy. I think I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't think about how they reproduce.
Yeah. Or who makes their pants. Because, like, you know, with the limited technology, it seems that other than the fact that nobody has, you know, electricity or internet except the one island, everything else seems to just, like, go about normally. Not the point of the manga, but it's something that I noticed. Yeah, so... We've got about 15 minutes left. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? I grabbed some other manga off my shelf that I would talk about if we ran out of things to say about Dick Fight Island. Yeah,
I think you know, Dick Fight Island can really handle about 30 minutes of conversation unless we were really going to, like, tackle pages and fights. And I think we discussed it to its limit.
I mean, we did 45 minutes. That's not bad. I thought we were going to struggle to do 30 because, yeah, short of doing a point for point, which, because it's so short, is kind of a disservice to it. I don't know how else we could have done that. So, Jesus. So I have two manga in front of me. I have Call Girl in Another World, and I have 2.5 Dimensional Seduction. So these are two manga that I've been reading. They are both erotic, not as erotic as Dick Fight Island. I guess Call Girl in Another World is maybe the closest, but they censor all of the lower region genitals in this one. But otherwise, it's a lot of sex scenes. So this is about a girl named Yuzuki. She is a prostitute that lives in Tokyo or whatever, and she gets transported into another world. But unlike most isekai, where, you know, they'd have to get hit by a car or die or whatever, she actually goes there of her own volition. So this, like, wizard comes to her her place of work. You find this out in later volumes. I think there's 3 volumes out so far. He came and he's like, yo, our world is under risk of being destroyed or whatever, and the only way to save it is for you specifically to come to our world and jerk off 100 demons. And she's like, sounds good. Where's the portal? I'm in. It is. It's very funny and lighthearted. It's one of the funnier things that they do is to not even attempt to explain how she can use her phone or how she can use, you know, products that people in, I don't know, our dimension would use, like, you know, shampoo or certain types of lotion. Apparently, she's able to just order these things on Amazon and they get teleported to the realm that she's living in. What happens in this? It's pretty much just like a, hand job of the week. So each, because she has this book with like 100 names or 100 different like races, so it's different types of demons or demi-humans, you know, what have you, and she has to just go down that list. And so each chapter is her fulfilling one of those names. And so early on in this, she like jerks off a demon lord. And it's one of those, like, you know, in an anime, like, oh, I've been, you know, sleeping for thousands and thousands of years and I'm finally here and I'm going to destroy the world again. And she's like, oh, shit, that guy's actually in my hand job journal. I'm going to go jerk him off. And she ends up like saving the world by doing that, because he falls in love with her and he gives her this like cape or jewel. I forget exactly what it is. It transforms into a butler that just like hangs out with her and is able to, it's like the Deus Ex Machina character. So like if they're, I don't know, like they get pushed out of a plane at some point, he's there to turn into a parachute. He's that kind of a character. There is another like demon lord type character that she, cause she, it isn't always hand jobs. It's usually, cause for some reason she doesn't have like full on sex, with any of these characters. I don't know if that's cause she doesn't want to, or if it's against the rules. Cause I think other characters, that work in the brothel that she works in, provide full service or what have you. But she tends to do like erotic massages, you know, with different types of oils and shampoos and stuff. And like, there's a chapter where a Chewbacca type character, like a character covered in a lot of hair, comes in and he's like, I've been to 1,000 brothels and no one's ever been able to make me feel good. And she just gives him a bath and he's fine. It's like, oh, I guess I just needed to take a bath. Like his fur was just so matted that he couldn't feel the hand jobs.
So in 100, in 3 volumes, how many of the 100 hand jobs has she given?
I mean, there's not exactly a body count at the end of each chapter, but I'd say like, you know, probably a dozen or so, because some of them are multi-chapter. Some chapters, they don't necessarily jerk off a demon. Cause like there's a whole, there's like a mini arc where a competing brothel opens up and they have to, I guess get reviewed better by the local like interspecies reviewer guy. I wonder if that's like an actual job, because I've seen that trope more than once now in manga. I guess I've also seen a movie about that, a really terrible movie called The Girlfriend Experience starring Sasha Gray. It's not good.
Not familiar with it.
I think it's directed by the guy that did Ocean's 11.
What? Okay. I started my career in B-movie borderline porn, and now I'm making a blockbuster film.
Yeah, I forget what that guy's name is. But, so, yeah, not necessarily every chapter. And, the one that I was going to say is she finds, like, another demon lord type person. And that person had so much fun in the act that they decided to transform themselves into a hot lady, and then they work at the brothel too now. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely really erotic. So, but if you're listening to this podcast, that's probably not a problem for you. I like it. I would recommend that one as well. It's under the Ghost Ship label with 7 Seas. And I guess because we talked a bit about the like presentation of Dick Fight Island, how it seemed like they were phoning it in a little bit. This is the same quality as any other manga that you would expect from 7 Seas. So, I don't know. It's got the chapter list and the inserts and like the weird asides from the author that you would normally expect in a volume.
Yeah, this damn Dick Fight Island got better. It reminds me of like the old, when Shonen Jump was like the $8 volumes. Like that quality that they were giving to those books.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Because I think it was pretty recently, like Tokyo Pop was talking about like their 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary or whatever. And like, what are your favorite memories? And a lot of people were like, well, Tokyopop kind of sucks as a company, but they're responsible for getting manga as cheap as it is and you know, translating it in a less, like, not Americanizing everything or translating subtitles, like signs and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, for a while, the Shonen Jump manga were like, what, $7 or $8? And I always remembered it being that cheap. And it didn't occur to me until recently, like, we're paying like $15 a book again. But it's just because of inflation.
Yeah, I mean, these are 13 for Deck Fight Island. Looking at the back cover.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was, Shonen Jump was really, like, that was, they were undercutting even Tokyopop at the time. So that kind of, not a great thing, given how Tokyopop's history was.
Yeah, I don't know what their stuff costs these days, because I, like, if I'm going to read a long-running Shonen Jump manga, I'm just going to read it in their app, because the app is like $2 a month, and I don't need, like, Dr. Stone I like a lot. I haven't read the manga. I'm probably going to read it at some point, but I don't want 30 volumes of Dr. Stone on my shelf. That's just too much. It's not even about the money at that point. It's just, like, too much space for something I'm going to read once.
Also, someday you're going to move.
Someday I'm going to move. And but also, just, like, if I'm going to have, you know, my manga collection's been growing. One of my New Year's resolutions this year was to read more manga. And so my manga collection, like, tripled, which sounds bigger than it is. I had maybe 10 volumes of manga because I sold everything when I moved to New York. But if I'm going to have 50 or so volumes, I want it to be a variety of different series. I don't like, it's always funny to me when someone's like, look at my manga collection. I have over 4,000 manga. And it's like, a lot of them are just like one, like he's got every volume of One Piece. And that's like, you know, 1/8 of your collection.
Yeah, it's a bookcase right there. Like, I mean, I just pulled up Chainsaw Man's price on Right Stuff. That's 10, retail is 10 for Chainsaw Man.
That is,
so it's still pretty, still really than, cheap.
Yeah.
Which explains why every week we talk about it in the newsroom. It's Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen are the two things that are always there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because they must be subsidizing those with their other titles because, like, Dead Demon Destruction, one day I'll be able to say that name the right way. That, I think, is like $13 or $14 a volume, and they're like shorter volumes. And I don't know if that's just how they were released in Japan. I assume they just mirror the release, the original release. But it's the same with Zom 100 is another one of their, I don't know if they still say Sig Icky. That might have been their online service, the Signature series.
Mm-hmm.
It's another, like, it cost more. It's a slightly larger book, but it's like less pages. Like,
I wonder, I mean, I'm betting that I haven't touched a Chainsaw Man book because they're impossible to find in retail. Are they using, like, cheaper paper? Is it, you know, they're just doing it by volume that they put so much out, or is it a Sig series or something? Probably we're talking like 5% of the same volume compared to Chainsaw Man's like print runs.
Yeah. Well, oh yeah, that's a fair point. I also wonder if the paper quality is different. Like maybe the cheaper paper just is a little bit thicker. I'm not really sure. I don't know anything about print.
Oh, I know Ed Shava used to go into this all the time of like paper quality, and that it's like the price, it costs more and you have to pay more for shipping it because it's heavier, and like paper adds up fast.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And, you know, we, like I said, we've all moved at some point, and if that box of books is the one that kills you.
Yeah, I used to have most of the print Shonen Jump. It was monthly Shonen Jump for us. I used to have most of that print run, and good Lord, like that thing, over the years, that thing almost broke shelves more than once, just because there were so many and they were so heavy. It nearly broke more than one box while moving. And when I finally got rid of it, I went onto Facebook and I just said, hey, I'm moving. I'm not bringing these with me. I cannot do this a third time, or, you know, however many times I did it. Whoever wants them, if you can come pick them up, you can just have them. And somebody that I had met at a convention that I barely knew was like, I could be there in 20 minutes. And they came, they put them in multiple garbage bags and just carried them out that way. I don't know if they still have them, but yeah, it was a lot. I mean, I just missed that.
I just pulled the Lupin because I had that. That's my, that was also my desk. It's a similar page count, but it's about like 10% thicker with the hardcover and the thicker paper.
Interesting.
That went for like 25.
I know Ed was talking maybe a month ago on Twitter about how somebody was like, hey, you know, if we release smaller sized volumes, not like page count, but smaller, physically smaller, and charged a little bit less, would you be interested in buying those? And Ed was like, well, actually, you think that those would be cheaper, but they're actually more expensive to print, which is interesting.
I wonder if it's like a standard cut kind of thing. Like, that, you know, if you just say,
yeah,
you know, this is a standard order and at the printing factory.
That, yeah, that actually that would make sense, because a lot of manga is, you know, more or less the same form factor. There's obviously outliers, but most volumes of manga that I have, you know, across multiple publishers are more or less the same size.
It was like three or four sizes, I'd say you'd have.
Yes.
Like overall.
Well, there's our podcast, Dick Fight Island. Highly recommend if that's the type of manga that you would be interested in. You'll have a good time. You probably be wanting more, but it's definitely fun while it lasts.
Dick Fight Island leaves you wanting more.
Yeah. And then, you know, Call Girl from Another World, if that's your thing. It's not as intricate of a story as Dick Fight Island, but it's definitely one of my favorite things that I'm reading right now. I'm taking time with it, because manga releases are such a pain in the ass. It's like 8 months between volumes, so I still haven't read volume 3, because volume 4 I don't think comes out until the summer, so I don't want to, you know, come too soon. But this is the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show. It comes out every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Me and Noel already recorded next week's episode. We're going to talk about Ranking of Kings and Gigant, which is a new manga from the creator of Gantz. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time, everybody. Cheers.
Thank you for having me, and cheers, everybody. Have a good week.